need your indulgence. I have another class in Harnov right after this. So I have to leave on time because they are complaining already that I get there late all the time.
They have no idea.
So we are on a new Mishnah, which hopefully we will start and finish today. It's a nice short Mishnah. It's either the fourth Mishnah of the third Perek, according to some ways of setting up the numbers of Mishnayos, or the fifth. The Mishnah says like this, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai, who was one of the Asara Harugei Malchus, one of the people who were executed by the Roman government, Oma Omer, Haneir Balaila, person who's up at night, V'amahalech Baderech Yechidi, and he walks, or he walks, we'll see, question whether they go together or they're two separate things. He goes at night alone, travels alone at night. Or a person who directs his heart towards nothing. In other words, instead of doing anything important, especially not learning Torah, he just is involved in thinking about useless things, mischai benafsho. So he is liable for his own soul. In other words, basically, he's in grave danger. Okay. That's the Mishnah. Now, we always say the Abarbanel first, the Abarbanel's commentary. Here it's very short. The Abarbanel says this is a continuation of the previous two Mishnayos. He explained, we'll just review very quickly, he explained that the Perek starts with Akavya ben Mahalalel, who says that a person, if he intellectually directs his mind to know where he came from, where he's going, and who he's going to have to give an accounting, that will keep him away from sin. After that, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion came along and said, no, that's not enough. Intellect will not keep a person from sin, because a person can blind his eyes to what he knows or distort it. You need Torah. Torah will protect a person from sin. And the three Mishnayos that follow show that, and whatever a person's doing, whether he's speaking or acting or thinking, the Torah is a necessity to guide him and protect him from sin on all those three levels. So the first Mishnah talked about three people who were talking, sitting together and not discussing Torah. Shows you how bad it is to talk without Torah. The next Mishnah was three people who were eating. That's action. Shows you how bad it is to perform an action without Torah. And this Mishnah now talks about thought. A person who is, these times, says the Abarbanel, are times that are very, very opportune for a person to think and to be alone with his thoughts. Persons at night, it's not working usually, most people don't work at night, and things are quiet at night, and or a person who's walking alone taking a path, walking alone, there's nobody around to bother him. So these are opportune times for a person to be alone with his thoughts and to think. And a person who at that time doesn't take advantage to think about Torah, but he thinks about useless and wasteless things, is destroying himself. That is, he basically, the Abarbanel, what's Mishchai B'Nafsho? He's basically destroying his intellectual being, his spiritual being. He's taking an opportune time to think in Torah, and instead of thinking in Torah, he's wasting his time thinking about useless things. That is the Abarbanel on this Mishnah. Now we'll see some other commentaries. They basically line up on two sides. some learn that these things are dangerous things, and you need the Torah to protect you. And some learn, like the Abarbanel, these times are opportune times, and a person should utilize them to be able to use them to their optimum purpose of learning Torah, thinking about Torah. So see the different commentaries, but they basically line up. Some learn these are dangerous times that need the protection of Torah, and some say these are opportune times where Torah is something that is ideal to take advantage of during these times. Okay. The Knesset Yisrael says that night is a time of danger. There are all kinds of mazikim, spiritual demons and things that are common at night. And night's a time of danger, so even if you're home, you need some protection. And walking alone in the derech is also a dangerous thing to do. Without any accompaniment, without anybody else around, you're putting yourself in danger of robbers, of people coming and attacking you. So therefore you need the Torah to protect you. And if you don't utilize thinking in Torah at these times, so if anything bad happens to you, you're responsible. You're putting yourself in danger, and you're not utilizing the Torah to protect you from that danger. So if, in fact, you are harmed, you have only yourself to blame. Yes?
Can we infer from this that there are no demons during the day?
Yeah, it's yes and no. In certain places, right, there are, right, especially if a person's alone and he's in a place where things are ruined, ruins or whatever. But at night, it's more common even in populated areas.
How can we think about demons if you're very down to earth?
Yeah, okay. How can you think about bacteria if you're very down to earth? You can't see it. It's what's it called? Floating in the air. It's all over, right? Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Uh-huh. So certain things you need a microscope to see, and certain things you need a spiritual eye to be able to see. But these demons don't have to be creatures. The demons are that some Rishonim say are evil thoughts. Person at night, right, is prone to immoral thoughts, evil thoughts. His mind wanders, right?
Worry.
Right. Yeah, dreams, okay. Dreams or whatever.
Okay. Why?
Okay. Another idea is, he says, we'll leave this for the end because it's a completely different idea. A person who stays up too late at night, doesn't get enough sleep, that in itself is a dangerous thing for his body and his mind. If you don't get enough sleep, you can't think properly, and it's not good health-wise for your body. And mahalech, walking, what's it called, is dangerous for your body because you're putting yourself in dangerous places without any accompaniment. And mefana libo levatala endangers your mind, because when a person is not involved in anything constructive, Chazal say habatala mevi lidei shiamum. Being totally uninvolved in anything constructive brings a person either to insanity, right? Because your mind is, you're not using your mind. So if you don't use it, you lose it. It becomes, what's the word when you don't use your muscles? So they atrophy. They atrophy. And also, an empty mind leads a person to immorality also. When you're involved in positive things, so you don't have the time for your mind to be filled with negative things. Always like to say, says by Yosef, they threw him into a pit. The pit was empty and there was no water. So the rabbis say, obviously, if it was empty, there was no water. Why did the Torah say it redundantly? So to tell me that there was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. So symbolically, like to say, Habor Reik if the bore is empty of mayim, ain't mayim ala Torah, right? If the hole is empty from Torah, then if there's no water, then there's inevitably going to be snakes and scorpions. A vacuum doesn't remain a vacuum in nature. There's something always tries to fill that vacuum. So if you have your mind as a vacuum and you don't have anything positive in it, then the snakes and scorpions are going to fill that vacuum. If you fill your mind with Torah, there's no place for the snakes and scorpions to creep in. Okay. Similarly, the Mevar Tanura says, a person who is up at night, right, that's where, what's it called, there's all these different kinds of spiritual dangers. A person who walks alone is putting himself in danger of physical danger of robbers or whatever. And still, a person knows that he's in a dangerous place, spiritually or physically, and he doesn't use the Torah as a protection, so he's liable for any danger, any damage that's going to come to him. And how important it is it for a person to learn Torah at night? It says the main Torah that a person learns, especially Torah Shebal Peh, Gemara, Mishnah, right? Not Torah Shebichsav, written Torah, Chumash, Nach, is not for the nighttime. It's for the daytime mostly. But Torah Shebal Peh is for the nighttime. That's why there are people, mostly by Sfardim, that they don't say Tehillim at night. And they don't learn Chumash at night. And they don't learn Shnayim Mikra at night, because at night is not a time for Torah Shebichsav, for written Torah. In fact, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, the Rabban Shem taught him the written Torah in the daytime and the oral Torah at night. And that's how he knew what if it was day or night, what he was learning. However, Lahalacha, for Ashkenazim, for sure, that's not the case. First of all, for women, it could be that only a person who's going to learn Torah Shebal Peh, he has a choice to go to a Daf Yomi Shir, or to learn Chumash, or to say Shnayim Mikra, Zimavr Sedra. So then he should go to that night, he should go to the Daf Yomi. But if he's not going to learn, and the only thing he's going to learn is Mavr Sedra, or say Tehillim, then he can. And therefore, a woman who's not learning Torah Shebal Peh anyway can say Tehillim at night and learn Chumash at night or whatever. Because a woman basically learns Torah Shebichsav, and therefore it doesn't make a difference night or day. She can learn her Torah Shebichsav at any time. And especially, there's another opinion, that if you're learning Tehillim as learning, then is a problem to do it at night. But if you're saying Tehillim as davening, you're davening for somebody and saying Tehillim, then you can do that at night also. In addition, after midnight, midnight is not 12 o'clock, midnight is the halfway point between Tzeis HaKochavim and Alos HaShachar, which is the same midpoint of the day, is the same midpoint of the night, which is somewhere around, I think, 11:20 these days now on the new time, right? Last week was 12:20, so I assume it's about 11:20. Now, that's midnight, Torah, halachic midnight. So after midnight, any case, you can learn Torah Shebichsav, even men, and even if they have other things to learn. Okay. But it says learning Torah at night is a very, very effective thing. It says whoever learns Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts a chut of chesed, a special wrapping of endearment to him in the daytime. And that means that what's it called, that his tfilos in the daytime are heard more because he learned Torah at night. Also, a house where they learn Torah at night will not be destroyed. And just the opposite. A house where there is no Torah learned at night is in danger of having a fire there. That Eishok Lasso. The Zohar says that if a person can't sleep and he gets up in the middle of the night, it's a sign that the Rabban Lishon gave him back his neshama early, so he should learn Torah. And if he doesn't take the hint, right, and he just thinks he's an insomniac or whatever, he doesn't take the hint of learning Torah, So he's mischayev benafsho. He's foregoing an opportunity. The Rabbi Yonah says, not that these are times of danger, just the opposite. At night, nobody's busy working. You're free from work, usually, unless somebody's a night watchman or something. And also, there's no people bothering him if he's walking alone. And if he doesn't take the advantage of those opportune times of being alone without any diversions, anything that's bothering him, he doesn't take the opportunity to direct his mind to Torah, so he's liable for on purpose and not learning Torah. In other words, a person is busy, he has other things to do, he's not going to be held so responsible for not learning Torah at that time. But a person has nothing else to do, and he still doesn't learn Torah. Right, so it says, person has the opportunity to learn. And on purpose, he does nothing, he has nothing else to do. But just the Torah is not important. That's called Dvar Hashem Baza. He's insulting the Torah. Because it shows the Torah is worth nothing to him. It's not even worth doing when he doesn't have anything else to do. And on that it says, he kores. Dvar Hashem Baza, you lose your share in this world and the next world. Yeah.
Is there are there something that one should or should not learn at night, where perhaps it might be worrisome for the Torah scholar? Are there certain?
Well, just again, the difference is it written Torah, Tanakh, or is it oral Torah like Mishnah, Gemara, whatever? It's preferable to learn the oral Torah at night, not the written Torah.
But you said for women they can learn.
But women, yeah. Because women, anyway, their main learning of Torah is the written Torah, which is okay for them. So therefore they can learn at any time. Now, in the previous Mishnayos, two people sitting and not discussing Torah. Three people eating and not discussing Torah. It doesn't say Mishchai Benafsho. It doesn't say they're liable for their lives. It just says it's a Moshev Leitzim, it's not a good thing. But it doesn't go to the extreme of telling me that the person is liable for his life. Over here, yes. He says the reason is, the Ugas Eliyahu says, the reason is that where there are excuses, in other words, the two people are sitting and they're involved in things. So if they're not learning Torah, at least they have an excuse. People are eating. They're involved in the eating. So they don't say Torah. It's not a good thing. It's negative. But it's not to the point where you're going to be held responsible for your life. But here, there's no excuse. Nobody's bothering you, right? You're all alone. It's at night. You don't have anything else to do. And you don't learn Torah, right? That means that the Torah is worthless to you, meaningless to you. Then you're Mishchai B'Nafsho. Some say that it's either or. Either being up at night or walking alone, both of them are ideal times. And if you don't learn Torah in either of them, right, this halacha applies. However, the Yalkut Yehuda says no, that the only time that you're really held responsible is if it's at night and you're walking alone. Because if you're at night but you're not alone, so there are people who could bother you. If you're alone but it's in the daytime, right, so could be that what's it called, that also there's things to do in the daytime. But at night, and you're alone, then there's no excuse at all, then you're Mishchai B'Nafsho. Yeah.
Is there a difference, like with I was told that men have an obligation to learn Torah, but...
Yeah, women do not have an obligation to learn Torah all the time. If they learn the things they're allowed to learn, they get a reward for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not required. Men have the what's it called, the Isser of Bittul Torah, and they have a chiyuv to learn Torah all the time, except when it's impossible because they have other things that humanly they have to do. Yeah.
So this man is walking alone at night. He's learning Torah from his head, or he has a book.
No. He's either thinking about Torah, or he could have a sefer with him too. Yeah.
How can
they have little svarim that you have to take along with you when you.
Maybe he's reading something. He fall down.
Yeah, but all these things, if you have to do it with seichel too, so you don't bump into light poles while you're learning. But mostly a person's thinking of Torah that he's learned. He heard a shiur, or today he has earplugs in I'm saying. So today it's very easy to have that.
Can we open the window here? Is there anybody against that?
Yeah, you can open the window. You can open the wall if you want to. The Rabbanu Shalom's providing air conditioning outside. You might as well take advantage of it.
Beautiful.
It's free.
They once reported that there was a man standing outside the whole night under a light pole, learning with the Sefer, while the whole shchuna was dark because of Afsakat Chashmal. That was Rav Avadia.
I hear, but they say under Rav Ruderman, to give the Ashkenazim equal time.
Yeah, yeah.
Rav Ruderman learned through a whole Sefer that he had borrowed at night by moonlight.
Oh.
But he ruined his eyes because of that.
Oh, he ruined his eyes.
So you have to be careful also.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of Mischaya Benafsho, the idea is, what do you mean you're liable for your life? A person's life is his intellect, right? What makes life meaningful. And if you don't take advantage of advantageous times and you think about useless things, you're wasting your life. You're taking an equality life and destroying it.
Which is also a sign of not enough hakarat hatov, that you're not grateful enough for what you get.
Right, and you don't appreciate what it is, right? Shmuel Alter Ger says there's a symbolic meaning to this Mishnah. A person who's awake in the night is always a symbol of galus. Tzaris, night, negative. So a person who's able to be awake at night, meaning it doesn't bother him, he's living a good life, even in Golus. He doesn't have any tzaris, he has money, he doesn't have any sickness, so he's not affected by the tzaris of Golus. And he's holeich yichidi, and he doesn't care about anybody else. He says, Shalom alei nafshi, I'm okay. I have money, I'm not sick, right? There's plenty of people out there that are poor and sick or whatever because of the tzaris of Golus, the tzaris of night, but he's awake, and he's alone, doesn't care about anybody else, so that's Mischaya Benafsho. That kind of person is liable for his life, right? You're responsible to be care, not to say, well, doesn't apply to me, I'm okay. So why should I worry about other people? A person has a responsibility to worry about other people. In a similar vein, there's another, the Yitzchok Yeranein says that this has another symbolic meaning. Neir Balayla is talking about in a person's youth, okay? When he is involved in all the temptations of this world. So that's like Laila. And he's awake. He's awake to all the things in the night, all the things of desire, and all of the temptations of this world. That's in what's it called in his youth. Mahalich Yechidi, when he's walking alone, is a person in his middle age, when he's responsible to earn a living and he has to worry about himself. He's very much alone in worrying about earning a living and providing for his family. So he has no time to be involved with other people. He's too busy working. And some say that the Mefana Libo Levatala is old age, where a person has nothing else to do but think. And he doesn't think about anything important, so then what's it called? He's Mischaya Benafsho. If in your youth, right, when you're pulled to all these temptations, and in your middle age, when you're so busy working, and in your old age, when your mind is free to think, you're not responsible for the earning a living anymore, you're retired, and you're what's it called, don't have all those temptations anymore, right? Most of them have gone away when a person's old, right? You can't eat too much, can't hear too well, can't speak too well. So his ability for temptation is minimized, even though that's really not true. Even old people have yetzer haras or whatever. And l'maisa, mefana liba levatala, if you don't take advantage of making Torah part of your youth, your middle age, and your old age, so then you're mischai benafsho. That basically finishes the Mishnah.
Not thinking about anything.
Yeah.
But sometimes it could be a mitzvah, because if the doctor says you have to do yoga because you need to relax, that must not be forbidden, right?
Yes. There's a story though. One of the gedolim, I think it was Reb Baruch Beer Leibowitz, that the doctor told him that because of his condition, maybe he had a high blood pressure, whatever. He when he learned and he especially spoke Torah, he got so worked up that it was bad for him. So he said, look, you're telling me it's dangerous for me to learn. I'm telling you, if I don't learn, it's like I'm dead. So I'd rather be dangerous than not be dead. So it really depends on the person. But there are times when if it's dangerous and the doctor says you can't do it, don't talk, don't think, you need that. We used to have a kerem, a vineyard that we ran. That belonged to us. We rent it out now. And in the winter, many times Rosh Yeshivas would send Bachram, who they felt were too intense in their learning, and they needed what they call today to chill out. And then it was really chilling out because it was out in the vineyard in the winter, right? They were really chilling out. So they used to come and work with their hands in the vineyard to take off the pressure for a week, 2 weeks, then they go back to learn. Because they were Rosh Yeshivas, were afraid they'd have a nervous breakdown or whatever. They were too intense. So there is a time that a person has to maybe chill out a little bit, but that's only with the direction of somebody older, wiser, who appreciates what Torah is and knows that sometimes bitula hikiyuma, sometimes not learning will be the reason why you'll be able to learn. And if you learn too much, right, then it's going to be a reason why in the end you're not going to learn at all. Sometimes it's good to take a little break, because that will encourage good for your learning in the future than not to take the break, where it may look like you're learning intensely, but too intense. I know people who Taka had nervous breakdowns because they were too intense in their learning, and then the rest of their life they didn't learn too much. Okay, I want to speak about, since we have a few minutes, not to start the next Mishnah. This week's Sedra is Chai Sara, and I think we'll always do this if we finish a portion of the Pirkei Avos, and there's time left, we'll speak about the Parsha or something relevant to that week or whatever. This week's Sedra is Chai Sara. It contains in it two deaths and two marriages. Yitzchak gets married to Rivka in this Sedra. Avram gets married to Keturah, who's Hagar, in this Sedra. Sarah dies in this Sedra, and Avram dies in this Sedra. So some kind of connection between marriage and death.
Betuel?
Huh?
Laban's father?
He also died, but that's a medrash, is not open. These things are open in the Sedra. You're right, there's a third death also, but that's only hinted to. So, what's the connection? And to make it even more difficult, there's a very difficult Gemara that says the following, that the rabbis asked Rav Hamanuna to sing a song at a wedding, Lekoved the Chosan and Kala, right? The mitzvah to make the Chosan and Kala happy. So they said to him, he obviously had a good voice or he knew how to compose songs, sing a song for the Chosan and Kala. So here's the song that he sang. Vay lon de misna, we're all going to die. And they asked, well, what's the chorus? So he said, where is the things that will take along with us? That's called to accompany us to the next world. That was the chorus. Now, that doesn't seem like a great song to sing at a wedding.
No.
Right? That, like, you know, sad. Puts a damper on the whole simcha. So what's the idea? So I was thinking of the following. There's a Gemara that says the following, that if a person should always agitate his Yetzer HaTov over his Yetzer Hara, and conquer and do what's good on his own initiative. If he is unsuccessful, he has this temptation to do something wrong, and he's tried to overcome his Yetzer Hara on his own, then he should learn Torah. And the Torah will help him to overcome his Yetzer Hara. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. I created the Yetzer Hara. The Torah is a antidote to the Yetzer Hara. Nitzchomutif. If you're successful with that, fine. What happens if you still have the temptation and it doesn't help? Then Yikra Kriyashma. Then specifically read Kriyashma. If you're successful, fine. And if that helps you to overcome the temptation, fine. Lo Nitzcho, what if you're still not successful? You learned Torah, you agitated your Yetzirah Tov, you learned Torah, you said Kriyashma, and you still have the temptation, then Yizkor Yom HaMavis. Then remember the day of death. Remember that you're mortal. So they ask, if remembering the day of death is going to put a damper on your temptation and help you not to commit the sin, why not? Why beat around the bush? Get directly to that. Remember the day of death. Why do you have to first try to overcome it, then learn Torah, then say Kriyashma? Right? Get to the point. So the Hasidish answer is, remembering the day of death is a very sombering thought. And people should never be somber. They should always be happy. So last chance. If it's do the sin or be somber, better to be somber. But if you can avoid that, and be happy, and learn Torah, and say Kriyashma, and you'll avoid the sin. Better to do that. I was thinking of another answer. And that's the following. A person remembering that he's going to die someday, remembering that we're all mortal, could be very, very debilitating. Could be a very negative thing. In three ways. How so? Some people, when they realize that they're mortal, and that they're not going to live forever, so they convince themselves that if they'll just do the right things, they'll cheat death. They'll exercise. They'll jog. They'll eat only health food. Right? Then I'll live forever. And they fool themselves into thinking that those things are going to prolong their life or make them bichlal, not at all open to anything bad. That doesn't mean that a person shouldn't eat healthy food and that he shouldn't exercise and jog. Fine. But don't ever think that those things are going to guarantee anything. They say the person who invented jogging as something healthy died of a heart attack while he was jogging. So nothing is guaranteed. You have to do your ishtadlus. You have to do what's proper to do, what's safe. You don't do things that are dangerous, right? You don't eat foods that are harmful. You don't smoke. You don't do things that are harmful to health. You try to do as healthy as possible without going overboard either. Because if you only eat things that they say are healthy and stay away from everything that people say are dangerous, you'll die of starvation. Because today they say this is dangerous, tomorrow something else. If you take it all together, there's nothing to eat.
Nothing left. Nothing to eat.
And you won't be able to breathe either, because breathing is dangerous because of all the pollutants in the air. So if you don't eat and you don't breathe, you're not going to live too long, even though you didn't eat anything that's dangerous or harmful. So you have to do it within limits. It's possible. It's a good thing to do. But don't think that you're now causing that you're going to be, everything's going to be okay. You're doing your part. Still, everything depends on the Rabbanu Shalom. So that's one negative thing. Person denies, it's denial. I deny that I'm mortal and I can do things that will guarantee that I'll be okay. That's one negative thought. Second negative thought is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Right? Person realizes he's mortal, so he'll come not to do anything positive, but he'll say nothing's worth anything anyway, so he might as well enjoy myself. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die is another response to recognizing your mortality, that's a negative response. And then the third negative response is, so I think what it is, so first one is that you think that you're in control. The second one is that person will say that there's no purpose to this world. What am I going to accomplish anyway? I'm going to die anyway. So he'll just pull the covers over his head, go into a deep depression, and never get out of bed. Because someday I'm going to die, so what does it make a difference? Whatever I do, right, I'm going to leave it. So might as well not do nothing. So that leads a person to depression, that the world's worth nothing. And the second thing is, the third thing is, the world is, get it while you can, enjoy it, right? Because you're going to die anyway, so you might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Those are the three negative responses to death. Therefore, before you remember that you are mortal, first make sure you're not going to respond in the three negative ways. So the first thing is, agitate your Yetzirah Tov and Yetzirah Hara. Remember, the only thing you're in control of in this world is your moral choices. You have free choice. Everything else, you're not in charge of. God's in charge. So don't think that you can guarantee that you'll be healthy by doing the right things. You have to do the right things. That's your responsibility. But don't think you're guaranteeing anything. That's agitating your Yetzer HaTov over Yetzer Hara. Secondly, this world's worth nothing, so I might as well just stay in bed and be depressed. No, learn Torah. Torah tells you that there's something important about everything in the world. Everything in the world, right, you can use for a mitzvah, whatever, and the Torah teaches you how. So the Torah combats that idea that the world's worthless. Look at the Torah. Torah tells you this world is important. And the last thing is, eat, drink, and be merry. Read Kriya Shema, where it tells you that if you don't keep the mitzvahs, right, and you go after your Yetzer Hara, there's going to be repercussions, serious repercussions. So you can't just eat, drink, and be merry. After you have done those three things, then remembering the day of death is positive. What's positive about it? Person realizes that he doesn't have things that are very much found everywhere and in great abundance. So even though they're important things, people don't appreciate them that much. Okay, people don't sell air on the stock market or even water. Gold, diamonds, the less abundant it is, the more precious it is. So if life is short, then every second of life is important. So you realize how important life is, how you have to fill it with important things. So recognizing that you're not going to live forever means that life is limited. Take advantage of it. Don't waste it. It's a very important commodity, and you don't have an unlimited amount of it. So it's very precious. And therefore, marriage is now starting and building a new life together and bringing new generation. So if you want to really appreciate life and know how to bring life to the world and raise a family and build a home, so you have to recognize the fact that life is not without an end, and therefore it's very precious. So the two things go together. Right? If you think that life is not never ending, unlimited, then why get married? What do you have children for? Right? You're going to be around for the rest of existence. But if you realize that this generation is going to go and you have to bring another generation and life is limited and therefore what you do is very precious, every second is precious, so then you'll make the most of that marriage of building a life and building a home. Right, if you put it into the right perspective. So, Vaylon Demissa, we're all going to die. But we have to take with us to the next world a lot of good things. That makes the simcha of the wedding more of a simcha. Because it makes the whole idea of life more important, if you look at it properly. So once you've taken care of the negative things and negated them, now remembering your mortality could be a very positive thing and can be a very, very positive thing of recognizing how important it is to get married and build a home or bichlal for any person. to make their life something worthwhile, because life is very precious and you don't have an unlimited amount of it.
Okay. Go ahead.